Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome to a special programme here on Cambridge 105 Radio, looking at the Cavendish School, a brand new school that has opened in Cambridge. In 2018, a discussion forum brought together over 100 families, professionals, researchers and educators to discuss designing educational environments for children and young people with autism. And that led to the Cavendish School, which opened in September 2021 in temporary accommodation with just 10 students and now has opened in 2022 a brand new purpose-built building. I'm joined on the line by Stephanie Smith. She's the deputy head teacher at the Cavendish School. Ryan Kelsall, he's a former principal at Impington Village College. He's now deputy CEO of the Eastern Learning Alliance, of which the Cavendish School is a member. Michelle King is the CEO of Little Miracles, a charity supporting families that have children with additional needs, disabilities and life-limiting conditions. Julie Bailey is an autism education researcher at the Faculty of Education at the University of Cambridge. She's also Chair of Governors for the Cavendish School. And Simon Peyton-Jones is a leading computer science researcher at Epic Games in Cambridge. He's been deeply involved in computing education in school. More importantly, Simon is a parent with two children at the school. So very good afternoon to you all, and thanks for joining us. Ryan and Julie, let's start with you. Where have we been at the moment? What's been the story with special needs provision up till now?
Well, special needs provision in Cambridgeshire has always been needed, and there's been a range of providers, some funded by the state and some private, who have worked to meet need with the local authority over a period of time. And Impington Village College has been a major player in that over the years and has had specific special needs units. And as a result of that, when an opportunity arose to collaborate with the local authority to put in a bid to open a new school, we discussed with them what the specific needs were and identified the need for autism provision for young people. And that was where the process began, really. And it's been a process of collaboration with the local authority, developing a local governing body and a steering group that has significant experience and knowledge. And that's where Julie really joined the project.
Julie, just looking at the figures on this, diagnosis rates in Cambridgeshire seem to be increasing rapidly from 2,000 in 2016 to more than 4,000 young people in 2021. Apparently, around 1 in 57, that's just under 2% of children in the UK, is on the autistic spectrum somewhere. As a researcher, does that tie in for you?
It does. I mean, it's very difficult to actually establish the prevalence rates, the number of children who might achieve a diagnosis of autism, because we're uncertain about the precise nature of autism, interaction of different causes, and also the way that autism presents in different individuals. For example, there's a lot of discussion about diagnostic criteria being very much focused on the characteristics of boys with autism rather than girls with autism. We know that it's much more difficult for girls to achieve a diagnosis, and for women achieving a diagnosis when they're much older, have got a history of perhaps being misdiagnosed with mental health disorders. It's really difficult to know how many children might have autism in a particular area, or globally or nationally. And at the moment, it's extremely difficult to access a diagnosis. There are long waits. So it's a very complex picture, but what we do know is that there are children with needs that are not being met where we don't have suitable provision, which is where schools like the Cavendish are so very, very important.
What happens in the meantime then? Are children faced with home education or being shoehorned into the state system as it stands, or the private system as it stands? Michelle?
There's many children that are stuck in limbo. Here at Little Miracles, we've got about 300 children that are just stuck, really. So there are some amazing special needs schools out there, but often they're quite focused on children with quite set criteria. What that means, it's like trying to fit a square peg into a circular hole, and the children with autism that are quite academically able often fall between the gaps and are left behind. these children are too academically able to be able to fit into a lot of specialist provisions, but also they're not socially or emotionally able to access a mainstream provision. They're stuck in a mainstream provision that doesn't quite suit their needs, and they become school refusers. Many become isolated from their peers. It has a massive impact on their mental health. And so what we're seeing at Little Miracles is lots of families feeling they've got no option but to withdraw their children from the education system and home educate. And that means that they then can't access all the other services. Home education can be absolutely amazing for some families, and it can be really positive. But the key thing is if they choose to home educate, and we're seeing families that are being forced into home education. There just isn't another option out there for them. This is why we need more schools like the Cavendish in order to help these children reach their full potential, not fall between the gaps.
You say you're aware of families who are waiting for places. How many, again, do you think you've got?
Last time we counted was 288, and that was about a year ago. So we know that it's more than that. We know that we are seeing these children presenting to us every single day. We've got young people that are accessing our services that shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. These kids should be in school. There should be a provision for them, and the Cavendish is amazing, and there's so many children that still need that.
Well, I was going to say, presumably if you've got that number that you know of, that's not everybody, that's just the ones that you're aware of. So that actual figure could be way, way higher, couldn't it?
It's the tip of the iceberg, and by families having to withdraw their children and home educate, there isn't an accurate figure on how many children are then stuck in that position because they've exited the education system. There is no way to count those kids. We don't know who they are. We don't know what's happening with them. We don't know that they're safe a lot of the time.
Sure. Okay, let's turn our attention to Simon, because Simon, you're a parent, so you've got two children who are at the Cavendish School now, and so that's great, thumbs up, you're sorted. But as your children were growing up and as they were heading into and through the education system, how was this for you? It must have been quite worrying, mustn't it?
So we have got two autistic 10-year-old boys, yes, and through their time at primary school, we were fortunate enough to get an education healthcare plan which provided them with TA support, and really we had really very good support from our primary school, which was Milton Road. The transition to secondary school, though, was a real worry because autism is kind of really hard for parents because the children that we love so deeply are behaving in ways that are disruptive and upsetting and sometimes violent. Mm. And that's really, really hard. And then when you think about that in a mainstream school setting, mainstream secondary school setting, we talked to many mainstream secondaries and they said, essentially, we are worried that we would not be able to meet their needs. We would not have the capacity to cope with their meltdowns. And, you know, we have 30 other children to cope with the class. And I could totally understand that. So it was transformative for us to have the possibility of a school that has deep expertise about their particular neurodevelopmental needs. That makes a huge difference because we don't understand what's going on. And the thought of placing them in an environment in which they're not only be safe, but in the company of teachers and experts who do understand as much as anybody does, yes, about autism, is a huge thing for a parent. I think we feel very blessed to have got places at Cavendish. We feel very blessed that the Cavendish exists at all, thanks to all the people who've made it happen. But we do need more of it.
It's all good stuff. At least you've got the school now. Let's talk about the formation of the school. Let's turn back to Julie, Ryan and Stephanie, who's, I say, the deputy head at the Cavendish School. Julie, let's start with you, because there was this forum. Tell us what that forum looked at and how decisions were made about what the Cavendish School, what form it would take.
Yeah, so the planning for the Cavendish School has been within the steering group, which is a group of experts in the field of education from the trust and also in the field of building, so that we knew that we could deliver the building. And what we wanted to do was to really tap into the latest ideas around what a environment that did the absolute best for children with autism would actually look like. So we invited people in the field from education, from primary all the way through to higher education, and researchers looking at things like dialogic teaching, how children learn through bringing together dialogue between the teacher and the pupil, particularly for autistic pupils. So we brought all of these different aspects together, including autistic teachers who could speak about the physical environment, and tried to build all of that into the planning of the school that built on everything that we know about what works for autistic pupils and removing the things that don't work and provide the stressors, sensory overload that can make education very difficult for pupils. But at the same time, we were trying to design a building that was flexible because we knew that we would be looking for a leadership team for the school who would have their own vision, their own ideas around how to actually put that into practice. What we were looking for is the best ideas, but also how do we build that flexibly so that when we got around to finally were able to appoint Steph and the team to lead the school, we were able to give them something that was flexible that they could come into and really put their ideas into practice.
I love that idea that you didn't think you had all the answers, because there are things you do know, and kind of like Simon has already said, there's things you do know, there's so many things you don't know, so many things you don't understand. And schools normally are a bright, noisy, bustling place, and that's a good thing in so many ways, isn't it, for so many children. They need that stimulus, they need that, yes, it's all on the go, this is the place where you're going to learn. But that's sensory overload in for these children in some cases, and terrifying and frightening. Ryan, let's go to you.
The point you make there is crucial. So that's why Stephanie's appointment was so vital for the school. The school had grown from Impington Village College's values and ethos and the large number of special needs students who'd been supported there. But I was a main school leader who had developed really successful special needs provision within a main school context. What I didn't have the specific knowledge, and nor did the trust at the time, was what that looked like in the practical operational running of a school. And so Stephanie's role was to come in and really give us that detailed knowledge of what it was like to run a school for young people with autism. What were the challenges we would face? What were the things that she knew would really support and enhance the educational experience? And what we as the trust were able to bring alongside that was the academic rigor and knowledge of how to build and run a really successful curriculum. And that's why we've brought over the IB curriculum, which is a thematic curriculum based around values and attributes that we want young people to develop, that we felt aligned really well with the vision for the Cavendish School. And Stephanie's remit when she came in was really to take that IB vision and ethos and develop it, work closely with the IB to develop a curriculum that would help the young people achieve academic success alongside her existing knowledge of really great therapeutic practice and environmental management. And so it was the bringing of those two things together that I think makes the Cavendish really unique, and being co-located with Impington Village College will give us the opportunity to really maximise those two things that we want to do. Excellent academic provision, which will lead to progress for the young people who are at the Cavendish, and fantastic knowledge around therapeutic provision and an environment that allows that to be delivered. Stephanie is the one who has to deliver it.
I was going to say, Stephanie, from your point of view, you know, this isn't a case of you being bought in to implement something that's been rubber stamped. There we go. Here's a plan. Do it. Even at this stage, it's open to interpretation. This is true Cambridge at its best, isn't it? This is, how do we make this better? How do we work with this? When they told you you got the job, was it one of excitement or fear?
Probably a mixture of both. It's been really exciting and still is very exciting. The IB work really closely with us to make sure that, you know, that international gold standard education that they offer in many countries is replicated here with sensitivity to those children's needs. The mission statement of the school is enabling the self, and we can only do that by having a balance between the two. Teaching them and supporting them to understand their sensory needs and their social and emotional needs and develop that alongside an academic curriculum. And the IB really carefully interweaves the two. So their values, their core kind of learning comes from a place of personal and social education. And you use that to build and hook the subjects onto, which means the learning becomes generalised beyond a classroom and into the real world. And that's really what these guys need more than anything, is to understand their place and how they use a love of learning to go on and achieve their potentials.
Now, the International Baccalaureate, you know, for someone who's looking on as a lay outsider, you know, has always been held in high regard. I've always, you know, we've got friends and families who go, oh, they've got International Baccalaureate. You think, oh, okay, well, that's going to stand them in good stead for the rest of their lives. This is the world's first International Baccalaureate school, special autism school. So is this going to be rolled out across the world? Is this going to change the face of special needs education globally if this works?
We are working with the IB to do that. There are some other schools that are following along now who equally want to get in on this because they can see the values from the discussions we've had around the IB and particularly with the autism community, because they have that knowledge and understanding and they need to learn those skills that come as part of an IB education.
Now, you started with 10 students in temporary accommodation. I remember being in those sort of prefabs back in my day at school. That's not quite the ideal scenario to start with. You've now got the main purpose-built building is open, which has got 60 students. So you're taking it very gently to get everything in and make sure everything works. Let's turn to Michelle and to Simon. With families now starting to see children going into the school, what's the response has been, Michelle?
Lots and lots of competitiveness. Lots of people want it, and the school is absolutely amazing, and the outcomes that it's getting for families is amazing. What that means, though, is that the reputation is spreading, and there's lots of families that want in, and there just isn't enough places. There needs to be more provision like the Cavendish for these families.
Okay. And Simon, as a parent now with two boys there, are you seeing changes? Are you seeing improvements in behaviour and general family life getting better?
Oh, well, it's very early days, Neil. You know, these things don't happen overnight. For me, the biggest single indicator is that our boys have made the transition from primary to secondary without a big regression, right? So 2 years ago, even between 1 year and the next at primary school, with a change of teaching assistant, we saw a big regression in behaviour. So we were particularly anxious about a much bigger transition between primary and secondary, because change is difficult for autistic children. So the fact that they've made it to the Cavendish, that they queue up at the door every morning for the taxi without complaint, is a big thing. So calmness is fantastic. I think we await with sort of hope and expectation that once they feel safe and they feel they know the adults in the school and they know them and trust them in the way that they did at primary school, that they will start to sort of accelerate in their learning. So they get to be more than just coped with, as it were. But I think we'll have to see that going forward.
And is that sort of the long enough time? Is that the period of time that you spend at secondary school? That'll really cement and reinforce that relationship with teachers and the environment and everything, will it, up for you?
Oh, yes, I think so. So, you know, I think it takes several months, I think, for our boys anyway, to feel that they trust the staff members that are working with them. But not several years, you know, so it's that part should be fine. Another strength that I think the Cavendish has is it's physically co-located with Impington Village College. So there's the possibility, I think probably everyone would inspire some children for the Cavendish to move into mainstream because they have got a strong enough foundation now to cope with that, whereas they might not have before. So that, I think, is another strength.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of points to pick up on there. First, I think Simon's point about things taking time, I always find, you know, trust is hard earned and easily lost. And so we need to work hard to earn the trust of our children and our families. And then we need to work even harder to sustain that on a journey over the next 5, 6, 7 years. And we need to continue to do that. I think the point Simon makes about co-location is really important. We've got some hugely academically able young people who we hope, once that trust is established and they feel comfortable in the environment, will be able to thrive academically and will be able to draw on the broad range of curriculum leadership and teaching excellence that we have at Impington on our doorstep, which most special schools don't just have easily ready access to. And the final point that I wanted to raise was one responding to Michelle, I think, about the need. You know, I feel very confident I've got a senior team now in place at Cavendish who are going to be able to do those things I've just talked about and deliver our vision. So as a trust, we are now talking to the local authority and the Department for Education about the next steps, and are very keen to replicate what we've done with the Cavendish in collaboration with Cambridgeshire Local Authority and the Department for Education to open a specialist school that will meet the needs of the local area and the community. And we believe that we're really well placed to do that. I think the success that we've had in opening the Cavendish throughout a global pandemic and significant challenges, thanks to Steph and the team and the support of our parents and the community, will stand us in really good stead to do this all over again. And that's what we want to do.
So are you trying to create a blueprint for this, or is it a case of, like with the Cavendish, you know, the original discussions were in 2018, you know, here we are in 2022. Yes, there's been a pandemic, but these things take time if you're going to get them right. And as we say, it's opened gently. You know, is it a case of, right, we've tested it, it works, or would this be kind of the approach every time? Julie?
One of the things to remember is that, and the reason that I came on board in the first place, is that within Impington Village College and then the broader trust, there's a different way of understanding education, a different way of understanding inclusion that puts the child at the centre. I taught in secondary schools for 20 years before I went into higher education, and I've seen, you know, the way that inclusion, the way that needs are met in different schools is very different. And since then, with education's gone in very different directions with academisation. So there is something very special at the heart of this trust and at the heart of the school. And I think that's where the replication comes from. And that's why you see the success in the building, in building the team, but at the heart of it, in everything that is done within the trust, and particularly within Impington Village College, the question is always, what do these children need? And I know that might sound obvious, and that's absolutely what everybody in this group lives and breathes, but I don't think that's something that could be taken for granted. And I think that's where the work that Ryan's doing in extending this is really, really important. And I think care has to be taken with looking at what's happening in the Cavendish and saying, well, that's successful, we can replicate that elsewhere. Because you have to look under the surface at what it is that motivates absolutely every decision, every action within that academic setting. And that's why you end up with the results for families that you see there. And Impington is not just any mainstream school. It's really very different and very special. And my own children are there at the moment. So I think that's the thing that can be replicated and start to work to meet the needs of the people that Michelle's working with all the time, those families that, I mean, it's not okay that there are this many families that need that. And I think that's the thing to remember that's under everything that we've talked about today.
So from your point, Michelle, as you say, you've got this list of families, you know, you could fill this school nearly three times over just with the people you know about. How do you campaign for more of this, given what we've heard about it? It's not just about finding a greenfield site next to an existing school building and shoving something up there built this way because that'll work. It's about getting the right people. It's about partnering up with schools that are already dealing and achieving things rather than just ticking by on a day-to-day basis. How do you campaign to get these things expanded?
It's really difficult because you've got a lot of the young people that are out of the education system. The parents have taken responsibility by withdrawing them from formal education. It's also important to remember that although we've got 300 children that are in similar situations, they all have very different needs. Each child with autism is very unique. And so for the Cavendish would be amazing for some of those, but actually some of those also have very different needs. So it's not just as easy as kind of replicating everything as well. It's we need to make sure that each child has access to a provision that is suitable for their needs.
So we might see sort of like a honeycomb effect across Cambridge and Cambridgeshire, there might be, Ryan, where actually there's several schools along this line, but each one with its own particular take.
I think that's what we're looking at. You know, one of the successes that we've had at the Cavendish, I think, is that the right young people are at the school. And that's because we've worked very closely with the local authority. We've brought people in Steph and others, who know how to identify needs effectively. And we've had really open discussions and had a really robust process for identifying who is best placed to come to the school. And that point's absolutely right. You know, we have 60 young people here at the school, but it's not a homogenous group. Every one of them is different. We can have a universal offer that we know broadly meets the needs of the majority, but alongside that, there's going to be specific support in place to support them with their social emotional needs. And we'll have the flexibility in the curriculum. And that's the exciting thing for me, is that I've previously worked in a mainstream setting where there are lots of structures and lots of accountability measures that you have to work to. In special schools, you have more flexibility to ensure that you're meeting the individual needs of the students. And that's what really excites me. And I know I've got a team who I can support to do that. And the next step will be to talk to the local authority. We're not looking to do a Cavendish Mark II. I'm looking to say to the local authority, we have the vision and the values that support families, can build schools that will be effective. Tell me what you want. And I believe that I can help you deliver that. That's what we're going to be looking to do.
Fantastic. Now let's give the final word to Steph Smith, because she's the one who's at the front end of this day in, day out. Steph, you're in your building now. You're open. Are you excited for the future? It sounds like it's going to be an interesting ride.
It is. We're really excited and we're really proud of the community that's developing already around the school, from the parents, from other professionals who are keen to support us and make this the best that it possibly can be, so those children can meet their expectations and their aspirations.
Amazing. And Simon, to you, you're relaxing now. Your boys are up in the morning and looking forward to the taxi ride to school.
Yes. And it's a great relief to know that they are safe and looked after in a pool of expertise. I do just want to mention the importance of Julie works in the Faculty of Education, isn't that right? So the sort of connection to the best research that's available about autism is very important to me, especially as there's such a wide spectrum of children on the autistic spectrum. They have very different needs. They present in very different ways. So that expertise is the sort of principal thing that I think we can do. And I wonder whether we could maybe challenge other really good multi-academy trust to do the same thing, to step up to this. Ryan mentioned about this, the way the sort of culture and values of the trust was important. There are other trusts that are really good. Maybe if they could, as it were, get onto their radar, maybe we could do the same kind of thing arising out of our excellence in education, and we as a country could support them in doing that. I think that would be wonderful.
You make a very good point. And Julie, final word to you then. If someone's listening to this and is perhaps is on a board of governors somewhere or something like that, or is a parent of a child with autism, what would be the first step towards getting another Cavendish school underway?
It's a collaboration, and it has to be a collaboration with the local authority who are placing those children and the community. But the starting point is, you know, what are the needs of our children, and how do we meet those needs, and how do we meet those needs in a way that works smoothly for those children and removes this need to have failed in order to then pass on to a more specialist form of education. But just listening to children, listening to their behaviours, listening to families, and particularly now that we know that children have had such a rough time, just really find a way to understand what our children are telling us that they need, and let's just provide it. That's what we're here to do.
Fantastic. Well, the Cavendish School is open, it's up, it's doing business, and long may it continue. For now, Stephanie Smith, Ryan Kelsall, Michelle King, Simon Peyton-Jones and Julie Bailey, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Cambridge 105 Radio.